We're up to Kufayin Hey Yomid Beis. We start again from Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I actually might as well start from Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Damer Tavayu Milva Alpe Eno Gove Lo Min HaYoshim Velo Min HaLukukot My Time HaShibud Elabi Arise. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, a milva that wasn't written down in a shtar cannot be collected not from lekuchos, which we already saw before, but that would be true even mid rabbonim. But they say also lo min hayorshim. Lo min hayorshim means that they must call shibud lav d'oraisa. Since shibud is lav d'oraisa, there's no way to collect it from the yorshim. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish damit avayu milva alpe gove ben min hayorshim ben min halekuchos. According to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, you can collect a milva alpe without a shtar, not only from Yorshin, but even from the Kukos, even from the Chatzim Mishubad. My Taima, Sheibuda the Araisa. Even though this seems to run against the Mishnah, and here they're saying that you can collect even from the Chatzim Mishubad, and the Mishnah says a milva alpe, you can't collect from the Chatzim Mishubad. So there's a number of different approaches to this. I mean, you could say on one level that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish were only talking about the D'oraisa. Just to clarify what the halacha is, Lagabe Shibud D'oraisa, which it would be they held definitive Lagabe Yorshim. At least you would be Goyvim and Hayorshim because there would be no reason to be Misakin not to be Goyvim from Yorshim, obviously. Or you could say that they hold that the Mishnah is referring to a specific case. And that even though it says Einogova, it's Einogova only where there's some type of chashash, and maybe there was a piron or something. There was it's not the Iker Adin. That's what sometimes.
It's a blanket statement,
Einogova. Yeah. Meisek. Here it says somebody is in the middle of digging a bore without permission in Rishus HaRabim. A shor falls in and kills the one who's digging. So first of all, the shor is potter. If the shor was damaged, then the yorshei bala bore are chayavim l'sham d'mei shor l'bala. The ones who inherit the person who was killed at the bottom of the bore, they have to pay the value of the shor. So why would they have to pay the value of the shor unless you hold that you're goyva even from the yorshim? This is a milva alpe. You see, you're goyva min hayorshim. So how could Rav and Shmuel Taina Shibud Lav D'oraisa? What would be the basis of collecting for the yorshim of the digger? It's talking about over here that the person who was digging the bore was already on the din in court. The court was mechayev him, and memela, once something is chayev in court, that's the equivalent of a milva b'shtar. That creates, really, the court has the power to create liens. So there you collect from the yarsh. In fact, the gemara v'ho'aragokat, what do you mean he was on the din? It says the boy landed on him and killed him. So what's said was Amit Bedin? So Trefa means that basically the guy was dying. But I mean, it took him a month to die from the shore falling on his head. Meanwhile, he was sued, taken to court, and this court passed and he had to pay for the shore. In fact, the Gemara of Amr of Nachman, Tani Tana, the Tana says, Mace the Kovro. That's the guy was hit by the shore, and the shore buried him, hooked him right there. In other words, it's not the meaning over here is specifically that there was no opportunity that he should be in Nichnas for Bezdin. Well, it says the Gemara, we'll have to say that the Dayanim were around the top of the bar.
A lot of time around.
The Yasri, Dayana, Akumida, Bira, the Tivu, and as the guy's dying, they were Machayazim. So, what was the Kiddush of the Tana that says that Kovra Yasa? So, it says it must be that the Kaddish would be that you might think that that's called the Gavik Taylor diamond. And it doesn't have a shame of a din, because the guy's already dying. It's like being done, a person is dead already. Kamash Malanda, as long as he's still living, it's considered to be a din. But not that the Kiddush is that he wasn't a din. Omra, Baba, Hilchasa, Milva, Alper, Gove, Mena, Yoshim, Ve'ino, Gove, Mena, Lekucha. Allah, Alamaisa, a Milva, Alper, can be collected from Yoshim. And it cannot be collected Mena, Lekucha. Now that's really all that the Papa said. That's what we're about to explain, which is going to be mashma, that Rav Papa took a stand about the issue of Shibud D'Oraisa, is not really from the words of Rav Papa. Because in other places we have the same mind of Rav Papa that's explained in the opposite direction. So he's just telling you, Halakha L'maaseh. In terms of our sugya, we're masbir like this. That he's Eino, he's Govim and Ayorshim. So now, why would he be Govim and Ayorshim? If you're on Shibud D'Oraisa, it's obvious why he should be Govim and Ayorshim. Why not? A Milva Apet create Shibudim on the Karkos, which you then go and you take away from the Yorshim. However, that's not what it says here. It says, Govim and Ayorshim, Kadesh Lo Tino Delet Bifnei Lovim. So this is going according to the Man Yomar, who also over here, that Shibud is Lav Yoraisa. The same Sugin Kedushin, it says, Govim and Ayorshim, Shibud is Yoraisa. So the two Sugins really are much, but they're complementary. If you hold that Shibud is D'Oraisa, so then we don't need to explain why you collect from the ocean. Why wouldn't you collect from the ocean? There certainly wouldn't be any advantage in not allowing you to collect from the ocean. If you hold that Shibud is Lav D'Oraisa, then our Gemara says we make a takana that Govem na Yorshim Kidei Shalotino Delet Bifnei Lovim. Because in order to address the issue that Kalman raised yesterday, because why would anybody make a loan if they have to worry that the guy's going to die and not be paid a loan? That's crazy. They don't have any recourse. So maybe we make a takana that you go them in a yarshim. Okay, but it works out both ways. Whether you're also good at the rights or not. Again, the bottom line is that it comes out the same. You will end up being go them in a yarshim. Ain't a go them in a lakuchos. Again, you're not go them in a lakuchos because even though we made a takana to be govim in alakuchos, and we would have thought that that's shalotino delat b'fein lovin is the same, but the let lay kala. If you're worried about it, and you're a lender, we're not going to be noel delat b'fein lovin. All you have to do is write a star on it, and that way you will have taken care of the fact that you need to create a registered loan to, in order to protect the buyer also. So we made a takana in both directions. Okay, so our circuit comes out, therefore, the bottom line is that a star can be collected from Lukuchos and Yorshin, and the Milval Peh can only be collected from the Yorshin, not from Lukuchot. So now, how does this tie into our circuit before about whether you can sue Yisomin? That's a separate issue. Now, the suing Yisomim, the Shaila is if they're less than 13 years old. Correct? Okay, so the Shaila over there was a different question. Whether, if you hold that there's no real Shibud on the Karkos, the case is that there's no Shibud on the Karkos, so then the problem over there is Priyas Balchov Mitzvah. There are too young to be five in mitzvahs. That was one approach, Rapapa's approach. Rahuda's approach was that the only reason we won't collect from them if they're minors is because they need to be able to research what really happened and find out whether there was tzori atasei or whether the contractor was real or had been given shalokadin to this other guy, whatever the case was. And if in cases where we wouldn't have such a chash, then we would be able to collect even if they were less than 13 years old. And that, in fact, is how we pass it.
You say you wait until they get
older. That's what Rapapa would say, wait until they get older. But there's a very interesting additional twist to this, which is that since the takana now is Kadesh Latino Delos Bifnei Lovin, even if you hold that Shibud is Lav D'Oraisa. So how about on those things like Metaltalin, where we don't have Shibudim normally, so it could be Nikabam. The Rashbam Tainas that the Takona of Ktei Shalotino Delos Bifnei Lovim is Mechayev Bizman Hazan. He says, this is Aloch all over. In the same way we collect the Ksuva from the time of the Gerinim, even from the shirt off his back, right? Even the Grima Dar Katvarian from the Chayai of Bosa de Chayai, even from the Tatlin, bank accounts, whatever. Because nowadays it is in Motsui. Wasn't much say then that Jews should own property because of the problems with the Goyim. They weren't allowed to own property in many areas. So as Ram Tainas, if Lamaisa, we would only allow the din to be collected from Karka, in Lechara Tino Delos, if they love him, go to him, he said, then we wouldn't be able to ever have any loans. Because who could lend another Jew money since there would be nothing to collect from? All he has is bank accounts. So how is he going to collect from his Yorkshire? So therefore, Tainus Rashbam, that this is done all over, it's no different than Ksuva. The same takana as Ksuva. Those contracts can nowadays be collected, L'bosa Chayai, even from Yorshim, from the Talisman. Okay, continues the Gemara. The next piece of the Mishnah said, Hotzia lo ktav yado shu chayav lo, govem nechasim b'nei chorim. That even though you have an IOU that's written in the man's own hand, it doesn't help to make it a contract to be able to be gova minachas in Yishuvah. You can only collect minachas in B'nei Chon. Bo'amine Rabba Bar Nosson Mirav Yochar. Huchzak tav yadol v'bei din mai. What would be the halacha if you took that tav yadol and you got Bezdin to put a hentek on it? And we have examined this ksav yadol and found it to be accurate and so on and so forth. Or we spoke to the guy and the guy identified this as his writing. And they seal it in court. So what would be the din there? Would we say that the fact that it went to the court system creates a real contract now? And it does the same thing as writing a contract for Chatzila with Aidim. In a sense, even better than Aidim. Once it's in the court, I mean, it's quality easy to find out about. Oh, my lay, apapishu zaktav yadav beitin, eno gova elim in a kasim in a chorim. It doesn't help. It doesn't make any difference. Even though it's subsequently sealed and signed by the court, that doesn't help. You can only use it as a document to show that there really was a debt. You collect for nefasim in a chorim. But there's no way to use this document to collect from buyers. Mercy, Rami Bar Choma. So Rami Bar Choma asks from a din that we hadn't gotten. Shlosha gitin psulim ve'im niseit avad kasher. There's three types of gitin that are possible. And if, nonetheless, if she went ahead and married based on this get, the child from the second marriage is not considered to be a mamzer. Ve'iluhin. Suppose he wrote to get in his own handwriting and he has no witnesses. So we're relying over here on the fact that it was given over in front of witnesses. Even according to the Tanakhama, we're arguing Rabbi Elazar, but nonetheless, as a last resort, Eidei Mesira B'diavad are okay. And over here there were Eidei Mesira. Yesh alav Eidim vein bozman, it wasn't dated. Or yesh bo zman vein bo ela eid achat, which the Gemara over there discusses the different possibilities. None of this is important for us, though, the details. What's important for us, how ha'ayel shlosh gitin tzulim, v'im niseit avlat kasher, Rabbi Elazar omer, afal pi she'in al avidim, ela shindinit nula b'fnei edim kasher, v'govem nechassim eshubadim. That's what's important to us. Rabbi Elazar says, look, you don't really need that you should have at the time Aidim signed on it, because Rabbi Elazar holds that Aidim Mesir Karat even look up Chila. So as long as the get was given over in front of Aidim, and in an equivalent case of a loan document where all of the above cases, let's say he had a loan document that was written in his own hand and so on, was given over in front of Aidim, you would also be given in a Chasim Mishubad. Now, if that's the case, then he's saying that by having a document that says I owe you money, written in his own hand, it's an IOU, and is given over in front of Aidan, the fact that the Aidan afterwards saw that it was given over and called Chitain, if a bezdin, which we're made of it, a bezdin certainly suffices, so then l'chora, that should be sufficient to create ex post facto a chiyuv as if it was written in a shtar. So the Gemara, well, there's no comparison. Shani hasam demishat ktivahu dushi beid nafshei. What comparison is there? Over there, the definition of a shtar, according to Rabbi Elazar, is a shtar without witnesses signed on it, but a piece of paper that attests to something that is then given over in front of witnesses. So that means that this shtar was empowered at the time of Shiva to be a full shtar, according to his definition of shtar, which is the equivalent of our definition of a shtar. In other words, according to him, it's as if Adam were written on it because it was given. According to us, it has to be written. But that's not the point. The point is, the document is made in order to be an attested document. So, Mamela, that was where we made the takana. This is the shtar that you collect from the Chasam Mishubat. But to say that you bring right from here that something that initially wasn't written as a shtar that would have that power to create liens. So now the fact that the court afterwards put the hentak on it, that gives it a power? It doesn't change the nature of the shtar. It simply says the shtar that was here with whatever empowerment it has is hereby certified as being reliable. That's all it says. But you can't invest it with more than it originally had. So if originally it wasn't suitable to be gaver, since it was only written by Ksav Yada, so it's not going to be more suitable after the court puts the hentak on it.
So this, it's not specifically the get that's shiny.
Right. Okay. Now, the next piece of the Mishnah said that if the Orev appears after the signature on the loan document, then that's not considered to be a document against the Orev to collect from his the Chasim Mishubat. Omar Rav, Kodem Chitum Shtarot Govem Minachasim Mishubadi. If the Orev signed before the signatures of the witnesses, then you can collect from the Chasim Mishubadim of the guarantor. Li'achar chitum shtarot, but if the guarantor was put on the shtar after the Eidim signed, govem in a chasim in a chorim, you can only collect from his free and clear properties that haven't been sold to somebody else. Now the problem is that Zimnin Amar Rav, we know that there were times that Rav himself paskin not like what he just said. And he said, afilu konim chitum shtarot, that even if the witness, if the guarantor signed before the chatima, no gove elamin chasim b'nei kori. You can only collect from the chasim b'nei kori. So, asha de Rav, ada Rav. How did Rav say two opposite things? Well, kasha. There's two ways that the guarantor can sign on before the witness's signature. He can sign on by having it mentioned in the shtar after saying that so-and-so loaned so-and-so. And so-and-so was the guarantor. If you're right, and so-and-so was the guarantor. So then, if you sign on that, then you're signing on the entire thing. This was the debt, and so-and-so was the guarantor. Or you can have a document that says this was the loan, and then you can have a line that says so-and-so is the guarantor of this loan, and then the witness is signed. Now, there it doesn't say, and so-and-so is the guarantor, as if it's all one long story. It's two separate issues over here. There's a loan document, and then there's a line that says so-and-so is the guarantor of this document. And then you have the signatures. What's wrong with that is that, truth is, it's a machlokas. My own personal opinion strongly that what's wrong with that is that then we consider that the Aiden never signed the loan document.
They just signed
the second part, which is the way that we Migash learns and so on. Others, including the Rashbam, learns that then we say that the Aiden signed only on the essential document, which was the loan, and being that this was never linked to the loan, they're not indicating that they're signing on that bottom part at all. But in either event, we don't have a shi'ibud against the Arev. That's for sure. Because either we don't have a shi'ibud at all because the loan isn't attested, or we don't have a shi'ibud against the Arev because they're only attesting to the loan. They weren't paying attention to the one line that's added afterwards. But if you said, ooh, that makes it all one testament, and then they put it together. So where Rob said that if he signed before this with this signature, that you could collect even from the Chasim Mishubadim, okay, and that's because the Chasim Mishubadim were applied over here with a shtar that was signed against the Arev too, where it says, but, Uploni Arev. Ashenkin, where he said, no, even if it's signed before, you can't collect unless it's unencumbered properties, unsold properties. That's talking about there was a separate line that said Ploni instead of Uploni. So how do you see Uploni Arev and how do you see Ploni Arev? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh, Eino Dove Elamin Echatim and Echorim. Makes no difference, says Rabbi Yochanan, which it seems to be saying. Makes no difference whether you wrote Ploni or it makes no difference whether you wrote Uploni. He doesn't agree that it's the star is defined by that Vav. Is that true? Masif Rava. Avim hachatumim al she'ilat shalom beget. If you wrote a get, and at the end of the get you wrote and send best regards to my ex when you deliver this get, and the Avim sign on that, so then it's not a kosher get. Why? Maybe they just signed on, you know, your husband's really a good guy. He's asking how you're doing. Signed so-and-so. What does that mean? I mean, it's not the same document. So they signed on whatever was closest to the signature. The closest to the signature is the Shat Shalom.
Another place
in
Shas where this is a more central issue
in the place. No, this is it. This is where it is. Rabbi Yavu. Now our problem, what does this have to do with Rabbi Yochanan? Because our problem is that Rabbi Yochanan explained this. Rabbi Yavu says it was the Dima Parshal and he made the Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained to me that if it said in the get Sha'ilu Bishlom, ask how she's doing, then it's possible. If it said Usha'ilu Bishlom, and send her my regards, then it's kosher, because it's all one document, and they sign on the whole thing. So here Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one who's mechadish if there's an afkamina with or without the vav. So how could he say benkach or benkach? It doesn't make sense. Well, you're right. Hachanami, because of Ploni Arev. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan was saying benkach or benkach, meaning whether the Arev appeared before the signature, or whether the Arev appeared after the signature, it makes no difference in certain cases. Which case? Well, he wrote Ploni. And not Uploni. In which case he's saying exactly the same thing that Rav was saying. Ask to the Gemara, so who needs Rav Yochanan? I mean, I don't see you. You made it sound like there's an argument over here, Rav. Rav Yochanan says, Benka Echo Benka. I mean, that's what Rav said. Time of the Rav, you're right. We never indicated with Machlokas. We should have said, Bechenom Rav Yochanan. Benka Echo Benka, meaning, there are signs whether the Arev appears before the signature. If the Arev appears after the signature, then it'll be the same halacha, and you cannot collect from an encumbered field of the Arev. Ma'aseh, Ubalas de Rabbi Yishmael. So there was this whole nice of the discussion of Rabbi Yishmael with bananas, what's the din? Rabbi Yishmael said, well, if it appears after the signature, you can only collect from B'nai Chayrin. Benana said, I wouldn't collect at all. And Rabbi Shmuel said, why not? Benana said, well, what if the guy was throttling this fellow in the shuk? You walk by and said, what's the problem? He said, what do you mean? He owes me $100,000. I said, leave him alone. I'll take care of it for you. Right? So says Benana, well, you're going to have to take care of it? Why would you have to take care of it? You only have to take care of it as an arrange if the loan was made on the basis of your guaranteeing it. Okay, what's time? You say, save the alma. You're going to take care of it. That's b'chayim of you. So this is no different than that. Your signature appears after the loan, but it wasn't made on the basis of your guarantee. It's ex post facto. That's not guarantor. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yishmael says, Benanis is a genius. Now, he never said Benanis is right. He said Benanis is a genius. So I'm a rabbi of Avachan Rabbi Yochanan. Alpha Pishakila is Rabbi Yishmael at Benanis. Even though Rabbi Yishmael said Benanis is a genius, but Halacha Kamosa, Halacha is like Rabbi Yishmael, that you collect from the Chasim B'nai Chayrin, and not that it's just merely the Alma. Ibarlo, the Chanuk Mali Yomer Rabbi Yishmael. Did Rabbi Yishmael argue on the example of Benanis, the case where the guy was throttling the other fellow? would he have said that even in that case, Benanus was wrong? And that we don't view it just as a response to throttling. Remember, there's two issues over here. There's the issue of whether a loan that's not made l'chatchila in order to provide, based on your providing a guarantee, whether that's the chalal called a guarantor. So that we said, I love Rabbi Yishmael. But then there's this other issue. I mean, there's also, Benanus is comparing it to this case where you're trying to prevent someone from getting strangled in the marketplace. I mean, over there, maybe Rabbi Yishmael would agree. He would say, well, the issue over there is not because the loan wasn't made on the basis of that guarantee. It's just that the guy was, you know, it's like an order of an exuva. He's trying to cool things down between them. He didn't really mean to be Meshabit himself. So maybe that, at least Rabbi Yishmael would agree. It raises a separate question. So b'chanuk mali yom Rabbi Yishmael. Tashma, yom Rabbi Yaakov yom Rabbi Yochanan. Chaluka ya Rabbi Yishmael at b'chanuk. Rabbi Yishmael argued, and he held that even in the case of the throttling in the marketplace, you would still be considered an arev to pay from the chasim b'nei chorin. Okay, well, if that's the case, halakha kamoto, ain't halakha kamoto. And he said, halakha kamoto, you said in the case of an arev lacha chatimata edin. Is the halakha kamoto also in terms of the case of chanuk? Tashma, dechiyasa rabin omer diokhana, cholukaya rabbi Yishmael at the chanuk, v'halakha kamoto at the chanuk. Halakha is like him there too. Somebody who is mishabit himself as a guarantor, ex post facto, even where there's a lot of pressure being put on the poor borrower, is still considered to be a valid guarantor.
I guess it's a new issue. So, no, you shouldn't be talking about it, paying.
Right. But we'll see, it's only if it was konu miyada. Homer of Yudah, Meshmul, Chonuk, the konu miyada, Mishtabit. It's only where you were made a kinyan. You made a kinyan that you were serious about that guarantee. So then, you're considered to be a real Arev. So does that imply, I mean, the cloud, the Arev Ba'ama, Loboy King? Apparently he holds that this is a unique case. I mean, since it's a Chonuk, we won't take it seriously unless he was Kano Miyada, because if every Arev requires Kano Miyada, I mean, that's unnecessary to say. So apparently a normal Arev, the very fact that the loan is being made on the basis of his guarantee is a sufficient basis for us to take this whole thing seriously and to say that he was really Gomar Umishabit Napshin. So Nechlal Arev Ba'alma Lo Bo'itinyan, who pleaded to Rav Nachman, how in that he argues with Rav Nachman, the Yomer of Nachman, because Rav Nachman held Orev the Beit Din who the Lo Boi Kinyan, an Orev that the court accepts as an Orev because of the fact that he is very taken by his own importance, that the court's looking at him and accepting his statement, and he understands that this is a rather serious legal step to say in front of the court that he's an Orev. There you don't need a Kinyan. Okay, but clearly from Rav Nachman, Rabbi Alma Boy Kinyan, you see that Rav Nachman held that normally an Arev, if he's not in front of a court, would require a Kinyan.
And it's not enough just his being on the
job. Correct. And we will leave these closing lines, Bezos Hashem, for Sukkot time, when we will get together. I think it was at Bava Solomon, or it was maybe at Saba Josh's, or I'm not sure where, but somewhere or other.
Somewhere. We're stopping before the
Ilkasa. Well, if we do the Ilkasa, we're going to end up finishing, and then we'll have to say Hadron Allah, Vesmik Allah, and then, you know, we'll have to get into Rav Popa's family, and that's a long process.